Hey, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Print On Demand Playbook. I'm Rusty Pepper, your host for the series. In addition to being a champion for the print on demand industry, I'm also the head of new markets and partnerships at Taylor, which is a privately held multi-billion dollar back-end print and visual communications company. So let's quickly discuss our goals for the series and how we'll be spending the next hour together. Our goal for the series is simple. We want to provide the industry a forum where we can all explore a wide range of topics. We can share ideas, exchange tips, best practices, and hear from industry experts in order to try and gain a 360-degree view of the print-on-demand market and how it can all affect our businesses. Today's topic in sustainability is with two leading executives from companies who are truly driving impactful change across the industry. We've got Jim Toll. He is the head of print and partnerships at Canva. And joining us from Europe across the pond, we got Isabel DeWolf. She's the head of sustainability at Hello Print. And now here's what you can expect for today's session. I'll be guiding the conversation, and in full disclosure, I am not a sustainability expert, but I will be asking Jim and Isabel various questions related to sustainability and how their organizations are addressing it. And throughout the webinar, I encourage you, our audience, to ask questions using the chat function on the right-hand side of your screen. And if you joined us for the first episode, you know that we kind of waited to the end to do the Q&A. This one, we're going to try something different where we're going to say, open it up, put your questions into the chat section from the very beginning. If we're talking about a topic that you want us to dive into more, maybe further clarification, we'll be monitoring that and we'll try to get through as many of those as possible, but we just don't want to affect the flow. So please use the chat for questions. But before we get started, I do want to also give a quick shout out and thank you to DScoop for supporting this webinar. Their dedication to fostering collaboration and education in the print community is what makes this series possible. So if you aren't already a member of DScoop, I highly encourage you to do so. Now, without further ado, let's get the party started. Jim and Isabel, welcome to the Print on Demand Playbook. And to start things off, I would love for each of you to briefly introduce yourselves to our audience and share one fun or interesting fact about yourself that not everyone may know. Jim, we're going to start with you.
All right. Thanks, Rusty. My name is Jim Toll, head of print and partnerships at Canva. One interesting fact that not too many people know about me that I have entered multiple belly flop competitions and I've actually placed and won some of those in my past.
Is there pictures?
There's a video floating around somewhere. I'll have to dig it up.
That would be great. We need that for the recap.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Isabel.
Guys, thanks for the welcome. My name is Isabel. I'm responsible for sustainability at Hello Print. Something that people don't know. Yeah, so I really can get myself into Sudoku puzzles. So on vacation or I think it's a bit of a weird activity. Sometimes I am just like a big hobby of mine. That's it.
Nice. Wow. Everybody's got to have a hobby. So that works out well. We got a belly flopper, we got a puzzle master. So that works well. So let's unpack some of that. Seriously, thanks for those introductions. Now let's get things started with our first topic. And that is going to be defining sustainability. Jim and Isabel, how do each of your organizations define sustainability related to print? And what specific initiatives have you implemented to reduce environmental impacts across your supply chains as you both are continuing to expand into new markets? This is an open question. I don't have an order. I'm going to open up the floor. Whoever wants to take it first, we can go from there.
Yeah. Shall I go?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I think just good always to give a little bit of context here, because maybe not everyone of the audience knows basically what Hello Print does. So we are the leading infrastructure for customizable print products in Europe. And we recently became B Corp. So that's actually a certification on high social and environmental standards. And I think a lot of people traditionally view print or sustainability in print is like, okay, then you probably buy recycled paper but it's actually, of course, like way broader than that. And I think there are three sides to sustainability, in my opinion, or that that I would believe in that we approach it is, it starts, of course, like with the mindset. And I think because we built the company 10 years ago with like culture as like the strongest foundation, it was actually quite okay to actually embed sustainability within the company in order to get it going. We are not traditionally seen as a, or like sustainability has not been a fundamental at the start, but we have incorporated that over the years. And I think because of our culture, that was actually something that we were able to do. And still there's a lot to work on. But I think it starts there, but also not only for us, but also, of course, for other parties within the ecosystem of print. It starts with mindset, being open, being curious, and wanting to change. So not just wanting change, but really wanting to change. And that also leads up to the following points, of course, collaboration. Internally, we need to work on our sustainability initiatives, but also externally, really working together with our partners or in the whole value chain to actually bring sustainability alive. And I would say, finally, it is about being transparent and being open about what you do and also maybe what you considerably don't do or what you have not done yet because of time, resources, and knowledge. Of course, from your partners, you're requiring them to be transparent because I think being collaborative and being transparent about what you do and that can really lead to sustainable change and sustainability initiatives and moving things forward together. So that's a bit like my view on sustainability in print. I would love to discuss a little bit later on what we do from like an environmental perspective on initiatives. Maybe Jim wants to also express his view.
Yeah, I thanks as well. I think there's some parallels and some commonalities here. I think like when we started Canva Print and started, you know, thinking about sustainability, it wasn't necessarily an afterthought. And when we launched Canva Print, it was part of the kind of the DNA at the beginning of what were the material choices, the manufacturing technologies, the locations and proximity and miles traveled and things. And so it didn't become necessarily wasn't a choice that we actually, you know, put on our users when they order from us. It's already in the product. And so now it's, you know, as we evolve this sustainability, it's gathering all the data that goes on behind it so that we can really start making those measurements and calculating our carbon emissions from our operations or from transit. And that helps us kind of inform, you know, what we do next, you know, when it comes to initiatives that I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit, the, you know, the VPPA program to, you know, support the energy consumption and renewable power additionality that we're adding to the grid to help our partners and things like the One Print One Tree program that we started several years ago. And then, you know, and then the evolution of that is how do we start thinking about the circular economy and the products that we do produce that we're, you know, providing a mechanism that we can, you know, bring those back or get them recycled properly rather than just going into landfill.
So I just wanted to tap into that. I think more like from an environmental perspective. So, you know, like we know the printing industry is just environmentally heavy and that we do have an impact. So I think you can divide that into like a few sections here. It's like, of course, resource extraction. So how do you deal with materials used within the products that you actually use or sell or the materials that you choose? Then you have, of course, like biodiversity, water, energy management, those kind of things. We currently measure our partners on that those aspects. And then the next step is really to work together on a code of conduct with very specific targets on those areas. And because we are a platform, we have like a network of like 200 partners throughout Europe. And that is actually basically inherent to our role, is that we can really connect the customer demand with local producers, reducing, I would say, the need of like distance by 40 to 50% in general, and having a like domestic delivery rate for over 75%. So that has a huge environmental benefit, but yeah, I think there's like so much more to do in terms of like circularity and the types of materials that we use for the products that we sell.
You both brought up something that I think is interesting, is the fact that from the founders down, right, there's something core to the cultures of your organizations. And that, I mean, that's where it gets me excited about this conversation, is the fact that your organizations believe that from a foundational level on how do you leave the environment, you know, better. Everything that you do touches leaving the earth and sustainability and green, all those different touch points. We all know other organizations who just talk it, but they don't really have the actions behind it. And I think print has a bad rap sometimes of saying it's a very unsustainable type of industry, but yet it can also, your organizations are examples of those that are actually can make changes in a positive way and are really pushing the industry forward. What are some of the things that we should do we should be considering as an industry when it comes to changing that perception from people that are looking at it as a negative within print?
I'll comment on a little bit. I think part in there is, I think the way Canva approached some of the work we did with the VPPA program is, you know, we made it a lot of times, you know, companies like a brand like Canva or HelloPrint or you know, others that are generating print, you know, through a network, they have this like, well, this is a you problem, manufacturing partner. You need to clean yourself up. You need to figure out what the carbon emissions you're emitting are and all these types of things, which is very hard to understand and navigate, you know, for an individual PSP. And so we turned it essentially into a we problem. I mean, you know, we are the ones generating the demand and the work for these providers. So it started to shift the conversation that we're part of that, you know, discussion. We're helping our partners with, you know, the education, the data gathering, the options, the how do we do this together, and really, you know, being a partner on that thing, and you know, not just from gaining the knowledge and the information that we need, but actually investing with them. And so this is what I think really worked with our partner network as we started this, is, you know, we're doing this together, and it's you know, we're going to fund the beginning of it, and then allow our partners as they join to, you know, it's a mechanism to get, you know, clean renewable power or clean offsets to support what our goals are over time.
Yeah. Isabel, do you have anything you want to follow up on that one, or do y'all want to try to?
Yeah, I think in the end, indeed, is what you said about culture. So I just think that it's really about raising the bar. That's also, for example, one of our core values. So also like tapping into sustainability, it's just very important to kind of find opportunities to do differently, and also to, of course, distinguish ourselves and then together with our network. And really collaborative in that sense, to find opportunities to do things differently. And in this way, from sustainability perspective, of course, like with a focus on, I would say, environmentalism, social initiatives, but also very much the focus on how can we do impactful things rather than like very small, tiny things that, of course, do make a difference, maybe in a bit of like mindset and view, but do not have the impact that we're looking for, like on a skill basis and scalability.
Yeah, but if somebody's starting out, right, you guys, you're much farther along than a lot of organizations. And I think Rob just put something in the chat. I was talking about small. It's overwhelming for a lot of companies. That how do you get started? How do you get moving? What are some of those small steps? What are the easy steps that a company can deploy to get started and moving into those impactful changes?
Yeah, I think it's always really important to understand as an organization where your impact lies. And it doesn't need to be exactly a carbon footprint calculation. I think that can help you. But just to give you a bit of an insight on how we approach this, is that basically our carbon footprint calculation, so what is the emissions that we emit as a company due to our operations, both like scope 1, scope 2, scope 3. And scope 3 is mainly your supply chain or like your suppliers in general. And there we see that because we're a platform, we don't need to actually calculate our CO2 emissions for the products that we sell, but we do need to do that for our logistical footprint. So if you would look at that, you would say, okay, logistics is the major topic that we need to address here. But if we look from a wider scope, we actually look into our company, we say, well, we don't have that much influence on our logistical partners. They are basically already pressured by the public, by peers, by regulations. So they are doing their things, right? They are very big parties. They are already working on sustainability innovations. But we as a platform, we actually have a network of 200 partners. So if we actually can set the bar there, we can actually elevate their practices, and they serve even besides our like network of customers, they actually also serve their network of customers. So our impact or our circle of influence is there way bigger. And also we can make on a different level or a different metric a lot more impact there. And I think that's always good to remember when you're thinking about sustainability. It's not just solely about carbon emissions. And B, also look at where your strength lies as a company and what your role in the ecosystem is. And then just start from there and create impactful changes.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think an easy one, you know, to kind of talk to Rob's question was like starting small. I mean, look at your power bill. Well, I mean, look at the percentage. Like, how does your municipality acquire its energy? Is it from coal sources or is it from renewables? And you know, start asking those questions of what percentage and what's their, what's the plan for that part of your grid to get onto renewables. That's probably the easiest first step, is just understand where your power is coming from. And then when it comes to, do we know when more renewables are coming, or if we want to look at some government subsidy on putting solar or more efficient power renewable on your building. It becomes part of that conversation to say, is it worth investing if it brings down our the composition of our energy consumption? It's a pretty easy, tangible way to start. And then you can make a small change. Like, what if we changed the lights? What if we upgraded our, HVAC? What if we did this? What would that do? And, those are some, simple things without having to get into the weeds of how to understand carbon offsets and all these types of stuff. It's probably the simplest thing you would probably do in your own home. You can apply that same thing to your business.
Yeah, I agree. That's true. Yeah, it's very easy swap.
So when you look at, let's talk about now is sustainability with growth, right? Both your organizations are growing. And I mean, I think that's when you're looking at the challenge of balancing sustainability as an organization grows. Both your companies are expanding rapidly, which is fantastic. I, for one, am a big champion of that, so keep it up. But how do you keep your sustainability commitments while also meeting the growing demands for printed products? That's, again, an open question.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not sure if I'm saying this in the right way, but I think the print industry is quite volume and driven and price sensitive. So in a way, if we can actually scale our impact from a commercial side, we can also actually try to shift, for example, volumes from maybe less sustainable products to more sustainable alternatives or different materials by using our leverage as a platform. Like, okay, this is the customer demand. If we actually work together with suppliers to change the product assortment, we can change it hopefully for the better. So I think that's from a product assortment side. And I think also with that, you probably create some more influence within the market, being a bigger company, driving change. And I think always it's good to understand like, okay, what is the commercial impact versus sustainability impact? And what kind of initiatives can we do to still minimize that? So, for example, other types of logistics, reducing your logistical impact, educating the customer on maybe making different choices in the end. I think that's it. I think it actually can have a power of influence if you actually grow as a company as well.
But how do you challenge, I mean, when you look at the price, you mentioned price sensitivity, because I do agree that's one of those areas we've seen it, right? You'll position, you'll pitch, hey, here's a sustainable option versus one that's less sustainable and it's a lot less expensive. And every, I don't want to say every time, but a majority of the times, at least in the US, we hear, I really like the sustainable is great, but this time we're going to go with this option, which is the non-one. And it just keeps going over. You know, so how do you start to change that? Where does that begin? Because I know in Europe, there's a lot more regulations than there are in the US, right? So what you can and cannot sell.
Typically, you see that there, like, this happens everywhere. So not only in the print industry, but you see, like, this is called kind of the intention behavior gap. So indeed, the intention is like, okay, sustainability is great. I want to act sustainable. And my intention is to buy sustainably. But then actually when they need to behave, they don't do that. So they just have, for example, a certain budget. So they basically need to, say like, okay, I need to have 100 water bottles. And then I just choose the ones that are within my budget, regardless of their like the sustainable option or not. But at Helloprint, what we try to do is to look. So basically for every unsustainable option, nowadays you also have always an option that is made out of recycled, renewable or biosourced materials. So then we go into the conversation with our suppliers to say like, hey, this is our ambition. Do you want to cooperate with us? And then the question is always like, who's going to take a hit on the margin because the volume is not there, right? And now what we said is like, okay, probably a bit of both, or we take a bit of hit on margin. And then because we can demonstrate that we can actually shift volume from the unsustainable option to the fully sustainable option, then we try to continue those conversations. And then to, of course, because we say like, well, initially we did 500 bottles there, now we do it here. Can we, see that the volume also there in your supply chain is then shifting, and can we do something about pricing so we can increase our margin again to remain a, I would say, financially healthy business model? Because in the end, being financially healthy is also part of your sustainability strategy, because you need to feed all your employees at the same time. I think it's always a bit of like how to balance out commercial impact versus sustainability impact.
Yeah, I mean, same page for us. I mean, I think I talked about it earlier. I mean, the products and the papers and the things we use, you know, it's not an option. So we don't necessarily have a non-sustainable option for our papers. It's just in there. And yeah, and as opposed, right, it's a bit of a margin hit, but that's the choice that Canva made when we launched print was to do this from the beginning. And so, and I think that just keeps going as we evolve more of our products of, we'll make a decision not to launch a product if we can't find something with the right materials.
So what I'm really curious about from a US perspective is the following is that, of course, we see that sustainability is becoming more and more like part of, like, I would say, of course, like often like, I would say, like a company's mission. Do you feel like US customers are more likely to buy from sustainable minded companies? Are they very aware, or is the US market maybe...
Yeah, I think it's the same. I think, when you do the surveys and whatnot, people say they want the sustainable option. They want that until they see the price, and then they might go a different direction. But, and I think that's just, our responsibility as brands and owners of, printing companies to keep, driving that message of, you don't have to buy 1,000 water bottles or 500 water bottles. Let's, as the technology improves, We can bring the run quantities down and make those things cost effective. It takes time, but I think the biggest part of sustainability that we need to challenge is overconsumption. And I think there's in the past it was manufactured to a price and maybe not use them all. And now you start seeing that the manufacturing technology is getting better, where it is getting to be economical to do shorter runs and things like that. And so now we can have the conversation of, let's not just buy to the lowest cost, let's buy to an ROI measurement. And, you know, that, and that, but those are tough conversations that the industry, and I think the buyers and the procurement teams, you know, we have to keep talking about that and sharing that when it's not about cost per unit, it's about, you know, impact per purchase.
Yeah. Do you also educate like the customers on Canva, like when they order prints? So for example, pursuing them to actually buy a different type of material, or different kind of products or lower quantities by any chance?
Do we, I didn't quite catch that. What did you say? What was the question?
So like, do you actually like educate your customers throughout like the customer journey if they order print through Canva?
I mean, it's there, but it's not like in your face about, hey, you need to buy from Canva or buy print. I mean, it's an option, but if they choose to, you know, do something different with their design and use one of their local, print service providers or, their own in, you know, internal print location, that's fine too.
Now you did say something that I think is interesting where I'm going to go back to the we comment, right? Because you're making the investments, we mm-hmm. as both print providers, and you are making that investment on that margin. Y'all also talk about Canva here, remove plastic from your packaging. You've also gone to a way, everything that how it comes packaged, you control literally the paper, the substrate, and packaging materials. And you all made the decision, no plastics. It's all done with paper. Mm-hmm. How was that discussion internally? I know obviously it was how do you, it hits all the scorecards for Canva, yeah. But as it related to enforcing that across your PSPs globally, that's a big lift.
Yeah, I think it came just with, you know, we spent a lot of time on not just saying, hey, PSP, remove packaging, good luck. It was really us going back to our you know, to Midland in the US and saying, how do we design the internals and the externals so that we don't have to put, you know, plastic packaging in. And so it was just iteration after iteration of, you know, how do we build this to make it easy on our partners to assemble. It's not a, you know, massive origami project. And so thinking about what does that operator on the floor need to do quickly, efficiently, easily to package this, and so that they don't have to then fill it with a whole bunch of, you know, either foam pellets or plastics to, you know, so really thinking about right sizing things and that whole part of the chain before we even really asked about it. We already almost had the solution to say, you know, we want to remove plastics, and we've already done the work to help you get there.
Yeah. Where's the opportunity, do you think, from the industry to sit there and say, how do you standardize more of that type of packaging where you can right size things, you can get rid of the plastics, mm-hmm. you can make it easier? I mean, to me, that seems like that's a big opportunity just as it relates to sustainability, because basically you're shipping less, it's more compact, there's a lot of advantages. I just haven't seen anybody really making a big, it's big right now being done at the, you know, level at where the platform level, but not necessarily across, you know, making, there's nobody out there really making it easy for everybody to say, hey, we can standardize this for these type of products.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit, you know, at least from our side, there's a little bit of an advantage we have that you know, that we know what the products are. They're, you know, we have the product, we designed the packaging to go with it hand in hand. So I think there's some, I know it's not, I don't want to say simple, but it's simpler than, you know, a company like Amazon that's got millions and millions of products of different sizes and shapes and stuff. It's hard to get that right. You know, I think for some of the paper products, we know the shape and the size and the form and the quantity. And so we're able to use those, you know, dimensions and things to come up with, you know, things that can be used across business cards and postcards and stuff that work. Or, you know, with our business card box, we can fit three or four different quantities in there. It can be used for postcards. And so it's just thinking about, you know, how do we just create a standard set that can be used across multiple products?
Yeah. I think we've hit that one. So let's go to topic three, circular economy practices. This is going to be a split question. Jim, your part is, how is Canva integrating principles like recycling and reusing materials? Speaking of what kind mm-hmm. of taking off what we just talked about, and how do you ensure transparency across your supply chain? And then Isabel, how is HelloPrint approaching circular economy practices, especially as you're bringing your European sustainability standards into the U.S.?
So I've talked a little bit about, I think, some of the materials that we use, whether it's recyclable or recycled content in there. I think some of the stuff we've been doing for about the past year when it comes to the circularity of it. I mean, I think we've recently registered our packaging in Europe as part of some of the European regulations. I would imagine that's going to make its way to the U.S. at some point in the future, of having to just document where the packaging's made, how it's used, what are the percentages of materials in there. On the circularity side, for the last year or so, we've been piloting all the returns that we get. We're using a company called TerraCycle to take things that can't be put in curbside recycling bins, things like the water bottles or vinyl banners or ceramics, to take those back and to have that company recycle them properly for us. Now, the evolution of that is, how do we do that at scale?
Yeah, I think maybe to also dive into this topic a little bit, I think circularity is quite a, challenging topic for a platform, because we don't have any warehousing or production facilities. So it's a bit a question where do you, for example, send something back to? So you need to have form partnerships there. I think a year ago, we actually started with Hadoprint a circularity track with multiple players within our value chain, and then specified on the event industry in the Netherlands, and then for the signage and outdoor, so more like flags, textiles, and banners. And there we saw that our role is a lot about communicating and educating the customer a lot on what they actually can do with this. But having a really practical solution to, taking a reverse logistics system is still a bit hard. Then, of course, I think also one side is paper is in the EU already very easily recyclable. So it's more a question, do the customers actually do that? And then more for the signage and outdoor stuff, how do you kind of manage that whole cycle? And then luckily within that circularity track, one of our partners actually found a solution to set up kind of a system that after an event, they would kind of put bins there where you could, for example, add your aluminium cassette from a roll-up banner, and then your PVC banner itself, they actually take it back. So that's a really cool system, but the only thing what we could do here is then basically maybe communicate that more proactively towards our customers, but we don't really play a role in that. We're actually an extra chain that I think is sometimes unnecessary. So yeah, I'm still struggling with this topic to really find a practical implementation, except for example, offering a banner only in terms of roll-up banners so they can actually replace it themselves. But then also there is the intention behavior gap, where we see that often customers lack motivation to actually put in the work to change the banner, and instead of buying a whole new set that is already set up. So it's also a bit of ease of use. So I think it's a very challenging topic, but we do have a producer responsibility regulation in the EU that requires you to rethink the composition of your product, if it's easily recyclable or reusable, or how you can kind of take things out of the system to put them back in the economy. So yeah, I think to be completely honest, it's just a very difficult topic. I'm not sure, Jim, if you're laughing.
It's very complex and it's very costly. And so I think it becomes this goes back to the weed problem. And I think that, with the producer having to be somewhat responsible for that, how do companies like HelloPrint and Canva, bear the cost of that or build the mechanism for it? You see it's some of our, just in the U.S., things I think are nice to see evolving are things like at Home Depot, for instance. They have light bulb returns and battery return capabilities, and so it's can more of that be built? Can that infrastructure be built so that people that buy products know, you know, where they can go to recycle them or how to, you know, we could work more on education of where you could, you know, take your vinyl banners, but there has to be intent and that behavior from the user to say, this is important to me, that after using the vinyl banner at its end of life, what do I do with it? And, you know, and I think that's something we could probably do quicker and easier to provide that education and where you can take these things when they become end of life.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually prepared like recycling blocks, or like a blog post so people could read it. Mm-hmm. But then the question is, do they actually read it?
Do they? Yeah.
even if you would attach it to an email. So yeah, it's, I think, a bit of trial and error and seeing like, and then that comes, I think, back to kind of like one of my first points, like, what is your role in the ecosystem and where does your like power of influence or circle of influence lies, and what can you do to influence behavior or setting up systems that are contributing to circularity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like, I mean, when I look at it, the measurement, tracking, the infrastructure to really support the justification for it is not really built out yet. There's a lot of things that are evolving to try to make it easier to, or for people to try to deploy things. But then, like you were saying, what do you do at the end of life with the product? Who's going to receive it back? Is it going to be the PSP? Is it going to be, or is there a trade group that actually becomes that part of it? And that's it. I don't know. That's where I'm hoping that there's something that's coming down the pipe.
I think that's part of the challenge is like, if the producer is responsible, how do we know that, you know, the user that bought from us actually either sent it back or took it to the right location for, you know, recycling or disposal? I mean, that's just going to be a tough part of that equation.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also the question is, who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
So there's like, you can actually recycle here in the Netherlands. You can ask a company to come, but then who's going to pay the bill? And then is that you? Is that, well, I don't know. It depends, of course, like on what has been the usage. But so you see that there also is there, of course, like it's easier to go to a depot than to, for example, use a recycling company that specializes in, for example, aluminium or plastic, hard plastic recycling. So yeah, I think also like finance plays a key role in actually moving sustainability forward.
Yeah.
So
when we look at, for me, when I sit there and try to look at the sustainability, you know, we talk about sustainability internally with our partners, etc. There's obviously, carbon emissions is one of the big things that that's a hot topic people are talking about. Print on demand, the advantage is that you can literally geo-route orders into the local market where it's not having to go air. You can literally produce it. It can go ground. It can be picked up, whatever, right? There's just, it's more efficient. One of the challenges is, how do you track and measure? What are some of the tools out there that make it easier for the industry to be able to really plug in and track how much they're able to actually remove and impact with their customer base? Is there one? Is there a standard?
I mean, from Canvas perspective, I don't think we found a standard. I think it's just things we're building on our own and, knowing. Yeah. I think this is just an evolution of us needing to collect various bits of data from, you know, down to hopefully at some point the device level to know like how much energy was used during the production of this job. Miles traveled when it's, you know, with a carrier, even working with some of the carriers, they don't even have a great way to tell you the miles that it traveled. And, you know, was it a truck and a plane or a, you know, train, truck, plane. And so these are just, a lot of assumptions being made at the moment. And I think it's up to us and the brands and the community to keep asking and pressing for the data and the information. Cause you know, once we start having the data, we can collect that and use that to, you know, to make decisions within, you know, how do we manage this?
Yeah, Googling, trying to find some solutions for it prior to this. Yeah. I literally couldn't find anything that was standardized.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think in the EU we have now the CSRD is an upcoming law, or it is actually implemented. It's the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, and that requires gradually, of course, like first I would say the bigger corporations and then large companies, small to medium businesses over the years and that requires a lot of companies to actually report on very structured data. It's a shitload of work. It's going to be another, like, I would say, business model. It is already. But that allows companies to actually, like, they need to have data. So it also will help you to get more data throughout your whole supply chain and more transparency and more traceability. So that's going to be a huge thing in the upcoming years. But yeah, of course, the question is then, does it remain at data reporting and transparency, or is then the next step also actually going to, that companies are going to take action? But that's a different discussion. But I think that's going to help a lot, at least from a European perspective, to gain more insights on, yeah, anything within your supply chain, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but I just say, like, to some of that, but some of that data now, even though it may not be, you know, fantastic, it's still helping. Like, it's still helping inform, like, where should we put the next location or facility? If we know there's order density here in a particular, you know, country, state, you know, region, putting a new facility there does, you know, reduce miles. It does reduce carbon emissions. The data is not there yet, but you still know that that's the, you know, kind of the right thing to do to keep evolving the network for as we grow and scale. But once we get the data, we don't have to start then going back and saying, oh, we should have had a site here, a site there. So there's a little bit of the, you know, what the orders are showing you where we should expand, knowing that over time we'll have those locations launched once we start getting the data.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's why you need to start expanding our collaboration, Jim, right? Because we have a big network of producers very close to the customer.
Well, the end market, the last mile, is where everybody's trying to solve for across all e-commerce. And that's an important part of it. We've got, it looks like 17 minutes left. So let's talk real quick, because I think both of y'all have some really interesting programs that y'all have implemented over, you know, your process when it relates to print on demand. And it's not about greenwashing. It's how do you avoid that greenwashing? But let's talk about some of the different programs that y'all put in place to really substantiate your company's commitment to sustainability and environmental best practices. Jim, you want to take that one first?
Yeah, I could probably talk. For those that follow me on LinkedIn, I just posted yesterday the collaboration with Watershed and talking about the solar farm we're building in Illinois, which was the mechanism to essentially create a carbon offset program for our PSP network. The biggest challenge with renewable energy is just not having enough. And so, you know, this was an effort in our research to add renewable power to the grid. And so by doing this, it gave, you know, our partners that joined the VPPA that, you know, the mechanism to, they were all passionate about doing something. They just didn't know what or how. And so this was the collaboration that we were able to bring to them to understand what their energy use was, what percentage of renewables, then create the program to build the solar project, so that if they didn't have renewables in their region, that they were able to get a fixed rate carbon offset credit as part of this program. So it helps them, you know, not have to search for which ones make the most sense, which ones are clean. You know, we're part of creating the offset for them so that they can, you know, plan that into the future. And it also really kind of creates the behavior we were looking for, because it starts to change the conversation of, if I know what my investment needs to be for renewables, can I make a different decision around what I'm investing in to bring down my, you know, my power consumption or renewable combination? Or if my local municipality finally gets 100% renewable, they're able to opt out at any time. They're not committed to this. So this just helped, you know, collectively between all of them, because no individual one on their own would have been able to go out and build a solar farm for their energy. So this was a way that we were able to pool all of our resources together and launch this. And I think we break ground in Illinois sometime next year. And once it goes online, it just creates this pool of carbon credits for our PSP network. That is, it's not for the public. It's for our network. And then we can, as we add new partners, to it, we can either opt them in, or if this is wildly successful, we can build another one and just keep going with that.
It seems like that type of approach is going to be key for any organization going forward. If you want it, you've got to create it. You've got to be the one that's going to drive that process, make it easy for people to adopt it, be a part of it. Versus saying, again, taking that we approach is I think a very powerful way of doing it, because a lot of companies, they want to do something, but like you said, we don't know.
We don't know
where to put that, make that investment. And so And when you're doing it together, there's something about a community. It makes it easier to jump into it, and the acceptance is a lot, I guess, more comfortable.
Yeah, I think when we did it too, it was even before that. It was, talking for the last 2-3 years on, sustainability, and that we were exploring it and getting that conversation going inside our PSPs. And, we had a sustainability summit last year that brought some of our partners in to ask questions and brought in speakers to help educate. And, once we did the work to understand that the investment and the cost and what it was going to, mean to each of our PSPs. I don't feel like there was a whole lot of resistance from anybody. It was, wow, this makes a lot of sense. It's affordable. It's solving all of the things that we want to solve. And so it was a pretty not easy sell, but being part of it helps. It says, well, we've got skin in the game too for this, and we're asking you to put some in also.
That's the power of partnerships. And, when you think about, when I look at even the future of sustainability when it comes to print, you need more and more of these type of programs. We need leaders out there that are driving and pushing it. So that's going to take us probably to our probably last topic that I do want to hit on, which is, what is the future of sustainability when it comes to print? Because obviously sustainability continues to evolve. We're all still learning about trying to figure it out, just like the print-on-demand industry in some cases. So what trends or innovations do you both see shaping the future of sustainability when it comes to printing? And then how might new regulations, new technologies impact our industry going forward? Isabel, you want to start with that one?
Yeah, I think, for example, I would say one trend that we see, of course, I think there's definitely a growing demand for sustainable products in general. Be it companies setting up procurement guidelines, setting higher standards, also in line with their sustainability ambitions, especially if their print spend is quite big. So I think the demand for sustainable products and then making that accessible and affordable is, of course, going to, I would say, push sustainability forward. I think also lower quantities, for example, requiring more operational efficiency, also efficiency maybe in materials or the way that we ship. And I think especially within the EU, there's so much happening around legislation, laws, regulations. I think that sometimes people get a bit annoyed, that they feel like that they basically are working towards all those laws and regulations instead of doing the actual work nowadays. Think about EUDR, the CSRD, the extended, the EUDR is about deforestation. It's about extended producer responsibility. It's about packaging directive. So we just have, that's just only a tip of the iceberg on regulations. And I think that's really going to at least probably kind of make a shift between those that are willing and wanting to change and can change. And then also the ones that either don't care about it or they lack interest to do so. But I think there's going to also have a shift happening between, I would say, different players within the industry, seeing how they move forward or if they're just going to be just gradually moving towards or they're going to take a a more prominent role in this transition. So I think for EU, that's a really big thing in sustainability landscape. And I just want to add one thing. I think for like more the how do you translate sustainability initiatives into your communication? I think what you see now also a lot happening is that a lot of companies don't dare to actually communicate about it anymore, because they're worried about what people might say and that their actions are not good enough. But I really would like to kind of push for this to be, of course, stay humble and open also about things that you don't do. But I always find it really cool to see like what steps companies are actually taking, even if it's not that they are already immediately net zero. Really would like to kind of like motivate others to share success stories so we can kind of learn from each other.
Yeah. So are you, when you say that you feel like there's some companies that are just afraid, they don't want to put themselves out there. They're afraid that they may get canceled in today's culture. They put something out there that they're trying to do, and then people are going to sit there and jump on them or dogpile on them if they don't hit those certain what they post or present.
Yeah. So you had like the greenwashing, and then apparently there's like this new topic, and that's green hushing. So you basically don't speak about the topic anymore, because you are afraid of like the negative feedback that comes firing back at you, right? So, and I think that's a bit of a pity, because I think we should also celebrate maybe something that is now still a slight innovation, transformation, or improvement, but that might lead to like bigger things in the end. And of course, there's a difference between marketing something very sustainable while it isn't. But I think we definitely should enable each other to kind of share what you do, so we can learn from each other, we can find synergies, we can find collaborations. So I really would like to, like, if anyone is ever like doubting, please share. I always like to learn from others. I think that it's a thing. People just don't want to communicate about it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's coming. I think like for us, you know, as we do, you know, get the VPPA going, you know, we've shared what we're doing, but now it's going to come back to, okay, well, let's start, you know, measuring and managing the data. Let's not just share the data, but let's make sure we get the data and the information audited and certified and things like that. And so that becomes, you know, a big chunk of what will happen, you know, moving forward with some of the initiatives is, you know, doing something is great, but having it validated is better. So it avoids the, you know, the greenwashing fear. And, you know, I think just, you know, by doing things like the solar project, you know, we're getting interest and calls from other companies of, you know, not just in print, but in other industries saying, well, how did you do this? What does that mean? And so I think that's just helped start creating more dialogue around this space. People might have thought doing something like this wasn't achievable, and we can help, you know, other industries or even other parts of the print industry, you know, do things that they may not have thought possible.
Exactly. I think that's where the power lies, and that's really in, like, even if other industries are interested, if you wouldn't have shared it, then they didn't know and they couldn't have found you.
Right.
I mean, y'all are also doing, I know Canva, you guys are doing, for every order, y'all plant a tree. I mean, there was a decision to be made for that, because there's a cost that you have to make. It's not that PSPs aren't paying for it. They're not paying for it. The consumer's not paying for it. You guys are, y'all made that decision to say, this is what we're doing. What was that conversation like internally? Somebody was like,
Actually, no, this is one of those, kind of going back, you know, sort of the beginning of this, you know, one of the, you know, Canva missions, part of our two-step goal is, you know, do the most good we can. And so I think this falls right into that, you know, DNA as a company. And when this was brought up as, could, you know, could we do this? What would that look like? What would be the cost? It never was the conversation, should we make this an option for the customer to select? It was just always something, could we do this? And when we rolled that and shared that up to the founders, it was almost instant, yes, do this, which we were like, well, let's, you know, we got quick, immediate, early buy-in. And then we started, you know, moving on the project, and then Melanie said, well, if we can can we go back to day one and do it from day one? And we went, yeah, but now, you know, now that just, you know, that, you know, it's a great problem to have, to be able to say, now we want to plant trees from, you know, the beginning. And you're seeing it, you're seeing in the projects we pick and select, and the impact it's making on the local communities. And, you know, they're not necessarily our trees, they're planted and they're given to the communities.
That's cool. I mean, but I think it reinforces that message. It starts at the core, the DNA of an organization, the founding, you know, the founders set the tone, then it gets executed from the executive leadership on down, and it becomes part of, hey, when you come work for us, this is what you can expect. We're going to, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to do it. And for this industry to keep to changing, you know, continue to adapt to sustainability, we got to start embracing that and having companies to sit there and say from the very core, this is what we're going to do and make those decisions.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and just start, I would say. Yeah. It's also just about starting, right? Just doing it.
That's a good slogan. I think I've heard it once or twice.
Just do it.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, this is great. I mean, is there anything we've got just a few minutes left. Is there anything else y'all want to touch on before? I don't want to get too deep into something, but are there some elements that you want to just sit there and talk about? Are there people that you've seen out there, other companies that are doing a phenomenal job, or other industries that we could maybe emulate?
I was just before, you know, I'm not sure about that specifically. I was just going to, you know, let anybody on the call or just invite them if there's more questions you have about what we're doing or trying to accomplish with our network or with how we're trying to manage, you know, carbon emissions and impact. You know, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Emma Russell, who leads this up for print, and more of Canva. You know, she's happy to talk your ear off about, you know, what to do and how to get started. And so that's, you know, it's a resource that the two of us can give to the community. And, you know, we're always willing to talk about it, to help guide or introduce you to partners that we have that are, you know, taking some of these early steps. And, you know, you don't just have to hear it from us. You can, you know, you can talk to Taylor, you can talk to Blooming Color and RPI and all the others that joined the program to see, you know, what's it like from a partner's perspective. And I think that's just, we got to build the conversation more and keep driving the industry.
100%. Isabel?
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, I really enjoyed the conversation. I think there are a lot of synergies and, I think, yeah, that's great to see also, of course, like, how Canva is doing in terms of sustainability, although I was aware, of course, of your, strategies. And, yeah, I hope we could inspire some people maybe to actually start or to, just, review what they are currently doing or, maybe, some new things. And also always happy to chat further on this topic one-on-one, or if you have any questions regarding HelloPrint sustainability ambitions and initiatives, then just hit me up on LinkedIn indeed.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. Really, seriously, thank you both for joining us today for this episode of the Print on Demand Playbook. Obviously, your organizations are shining examples of exactly what happens when sustainability is built into the fabric of an organization. And to the awesome audience, thank you all so much for joining us today and being part of this important conversation. Sustainability is obviously, as we talked about, key driver that's helping shape the print-on-demand industry. And the more we can all collaborate, share insights, share best practices, the more we can progress the print-on-demand community together. And if you found this episode valuable, we love your help in growing our community. So please consider sharing this conversation with your network. And if you have any ideas or topics you'd like us to see covered in future episodes, reach out to me via LinkedIn. You can DM me. Your feedback and suggestions are always welcome. And until next time, keep pushing forward, keep innovating, and keep working on your Print on Demand Playbook. Thanks, y'all. Thanks, Isabel. Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye. Thank you.